Mark 1:1-8. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
For the Isaiah passage, I invite you to join in the blue book, 828. It's Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
And every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain.
Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field.
The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass.
The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word
get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God.
See, the Lord our God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him.
He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Thank you. Jacob Landis, a senior this year, was already preparing to preach this coming Sunday on these passages and graciously made a portion of his sermon available for us, to encourage us in our faith, in our walk, in our activity in the season of Advent, preparing for Emmanuel, again, God with us. Jacob is a congregational ministry and biblical studies major, a member of the cross-country team, cross-country, not cross-cultural team, although he's going on the cross-cultural next semester, and he has served faithfully this semester as a pastoral assistant. I would invite you to welcome him and thank him for the work that he's put into this presentation, this sermon.
Oh, thank you. I wasn't expecting to get applause when I came up here. As kind of stated, this coming Sunday is the second Sunday in the season of Advent. And after my classes this afternoon, I'll be driving up to Pennsylvania to preach at Scottsdale Mennonite Church. So this is a portion of what I'm preparing. I've kind of changed a few things because you guys aren't all old people. So, no offense. You can imagine then that this would take place in the context of a larger worship setting. The theme for this Sunday is peace. So there would have been readings and songs about peace. So you can have that in the back of your mind as we go forward with this. Few of us know what it is like to live under occupation. Our country has not been conquered by another country. We don't know what it's like to have our world changed by a foreign power. But some in this land do. My great-grandmother used to tell a story about when she was a young girl growing up on the South Dakota frontier in the early 1900s. And she'd tell about how Native Americans would come to her house and her mom would make food for them. And then many, many years later, my mom went to school in an old country one-room schoolhouse with the descendants of some of these Native Americans. So to a whole group of people, we are occupiers, occupying a foreign land. And this was the situation that Israel was in during the time, both in the Mark passage and in the Isaiah passage. Invaders had come in and conquered them, and in Isaiah they had moved them to a new land. Life was forever different. God had seemingly abandoned them. And then you fast forward a couple centuries, and then the land of Judea was occupied by the Romans. And they didn't force them to relocate, but they had to pay taxes and deal with the insult of having foreign soldiers walking around their countryside. Where was God? So today, we don't think of ourselves as an occupied people. I mean, like I said earlier, we are the ones that can be seen as invaders on some levels. But I think we are still asking the same question as the people under oppression. Where are you, God? We try so hard to put on a brave face, to pretend like everything in our lives is going great, that we don't need comfort, that we are at peace already. And we have Netflix, and we have fancy clothes, and lots of food, and alcohol to give us comfort. We're doing just fine. We can take care of ourselves. We can comfort ourselves. But are we fine? Sometimes it feels like we've been put kind of in a timeout. You know that feeling when you're a little kid, you've done something wrong, you have to sit there. But we pretend that we're having fun sitting in the corner because you don't want anyone to know that you're not having fun there. But, you know, it's only to hide how unhappy we really are, how upset, maybe how scared we are. Deep down, I think we all need comfort. We all need some greater sense of peace. Especially in this time of the year, I think we're all a little discouraged or restless over something. Maybe it's anxious about finals or grades, relationships, or maybe even paying for next semester. We are not at peace. We need comfort. We need a deep peace that only God can give us. And God is coming. I think we can all find ways of relating to this Isaiah passage that we read together. Let me give you the context of Isaiah 40. So Isaiah 40 is addressing people that are about to be freed from exile. So a little quick history here about what's going on in the Bible. You have the three early kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. And when Solomon was king, he built the temple and he built this grand palace. But to do that, he had to kind of put the people under slavery. You can read about it in 1 Kings 5 a little bit. And then after Solomon dies, his son Rehoboam comes into power. And this man named Jeroboam comes to him and says, "How are you going to treat us?" And Jeroboam thinks about it a little bit and he says, "You know what? My dad made you work hard. I'm going to make you work harder." And so Jeroboam doesn't like this and leaves. And there's a rebellion, and 10 tribes of Israel separate off, the 10 northern tribes, and they create the land of Israel. And then the two southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin stay, and they become the land of Judah. And so there's this split now, and the northern land of Israel is conquered after, you know, many, many years by the empire of Assyria, somewhere around the time of 740 BCE. And then they go off, and Assyria takes some of them away and brings in some more people. And in the New Testament, we see these people as the Samaritans. These are the people that Jesus is ministering to in Samaria. So they're doing their little thing. Generations later, the southern kingdom of Judah is attacked, this time by Babylon. Babylon had come in and conquered Assyria, and now Babylon conquered Judah. And they had taken everyone, except for the very poor and the very old, taken them all away to foreign places. The people believed that God had abandoned them. They had tried to remain faithful, and where was God in this time? And during this time, we have, in the Bible, we read the Book of Lamentations and some of our Psalms. These come out of this time where the people, their lives have been turned upside down. Everything they knew was different. So they're living in this foreign land surrounded by foreign people. And into this exile speaks the word of Isaiah 40. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. God has not abandoned the people. Their cry has been heard, and the people can be at peace. Prepare the way of the Lord, Isaiah says. All people are like grass. These oppressors, they won't last forever, but God's word will. Go up on the mountain and declare that this is your God. God's strong and mighty arm, a phrase alluding to the Exodus, is powerful, but God is the gentle shepherd that cares for his flock. A metaphor that we could use that really is not adequate, but it's kind of fun to think about, might be this image of a timeout. So the parent has put the child in a timeout, and they're sitting there in the corner or wherever they're having timeout, just agonizing, because they don't want to sit there. They want to go play and have fun. And then you hear the parent say, maybe to another sibling or something, go give little Timmy some juice and cookies. He's been in timeout long enough. I'll let him go play pretty soon. And can't you imagine that peace that that child must feel as they're sitting there? They could have been so worried, sitting there so long, have they forgotten about me? Do they still love me? And then that peace, they have not forgotten. The freedom is coming soon. And in the same way, the peace of God rests upon the people in exile as they receive their comfort. And if you read on in Isaiah, the end of Isaiah 40 has this verse that we, most of us, know fairly well. Those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Comfort and peace comes from this message that God has not forgotten about the people. And then you read on in Isaiah, and you get to Isaiah 45, and then this, the deliverer comes, the one that will finally give them permission to leave exile. He's called the Anointed One, the little M Messiah. King Cyrus of Persia comes and invades Babylon, conquers Babylon, and says, okay, Jews, you can go home now. Isaiah calls him God's instrument, the comforter of Judah. God showed up and took care of the people. The parent is offering comfort, a sense of peace. All will be well now. And then if we fast forward around 500 years, we come to John the Baptist in this passage in Mark. And again, the people are pressed. And this time it's by Rome. They are not free. They're not at peace. During this time around when John was preaching and Jesus was doing his ministry, there were countless rebellions. There were people claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be the Anointed One, the one that would deliver the people from this oppression. But the people could not provide their own peace. Even the Pharisees tried enforcing stricter religious laws to try to bring a sense of peace to the people, a sense of order. But true peace does not come by human effort. And into this chaotic, troubled time, John comes to the wilderness and prepares the way for the Lord. Now, a fun little side note that really doesn't have anything to do with what I'm talking about here, but I think it's really interesting. Mark says in this passage, if you reread it, that all of Judea went out to see John. But Jesus was from Galilee in Nazareth. And Jesus did most of his ministry in Galilee. And then when Jesus does go to Judea, to Jerusalem, they kill him. That's a Lent sermon, so I'm just going to let you think about that. I thought it was kind of interesting. So again, the people are not at rest. They feel this need for a deeper sense of peace, a deeper sense of comfort in this time of oppression. And then God gives them that peace. God gives them Jesus. It's like the story about the kid in the timeout again. But this time, instead of setting, you know, a sibling or somebody, the parent comes and sits with the kid in the corner, gives them reassurance, gives them peace. God shows up and gives the people peace, heals the sick, feeds the hungry, gives sight to the blind. And then we get that power through the Holy Spirit. So now we can imagine that little Timmy in the corner has the power to bring comfort to others that are in timeout. Now again, that's stretching the metaphor, but you know, you can think about it that way. So we're in this season of Advent. And Advent is all about preparing for the coming of Jesus. Advent is kind of means coming. So we have these 4 weeks leading up to Christmas where we're singing songs, and we know exactly the day that we're going to get our presents. We know exactly where we're going to get to see all of our friends and our family and hang out with that really cool, crazy aunt. And yes, you know, we're waiting for baby Jesus, and in a greater sense, we're waiting for that end of time when Jesus will come again. But we're also waiting for other ways that Jesus will show up. And today, we like to think that we have it all together, that our lives are good, that we have all the essentials. Just a couple weeks ago, we had Thanksgiving. We were counting our blessings. But deep down, we are not at peace. And we feel that, if we're really honest with ourselves. We feel the weight of the world on us, the pressures of society to get a job, to make money, to fit in, to buy the latest iPhone. We've created a system of self-oppression. We are not at peace. We are hurting. The U.S. has one of the highest suicide rates in the world. Depression is off the charts. We have a large income gap. There's a system of corporations that are content to suck the oil from the ground and blow the topsoil off the prairie. There's injustice in the justice system. We need comfort and peace very badly. And we're not going to find it in Walmart or on eBay. We need the peace that only God can bring, the strong arm and the gentle shepherding. And sometimes, like the people of Israel, we have to wait in our discomfort and our oppression, not knowing when the help will come, but God will come. And as those created in the image of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, we are called to participate in the peace that God brings. We can be the comforting friend, the patient listening ear, person that makes a new friend, the body in front of the bulldozer. And as those that are oppressors, I mean, if we think about it, how many of our clothes were made in sweatshops? How many natives used to live in this valley? As those that are oppressors, we can be the hands and feet of God for those that are without power. But just a word of caution that I really want to give, especially to this community, we are very excited and encouraged about going out and doing things, about acting for people and empowering others, which is a very good thing. But I think very often we do it under our own power. We want to do work for people instead of with people, instead of with God. I think oftentimes we go into situations where we want to be God and do these things, and then we forget to pray. We forget to work with God in bringing peace and comfort. We can help God show up. We can help bring God's peace. We are hurting, and we hide it well. And we try to deal with it on our own. But we must learn that true peace can only come from God. And God is coming. From 2 Corinthians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. Go in peace.